Hi, this is Dan Sheridan, and this is 1B of our series, God's Aeonian Purpose. We kind of got cut off pretty quick last time. And just to sum up real quick, we are pointing out the reasons, the number of reasons why we believe that the sacred scriptures are better and that they are reliable, they are genuine, whereas the other sacred writings are not. And we take that stand here. Number one, we pointed out that in the Bible, the sacred scriptures, God reveals himself to man, whereas in the other writings, it's man trying to reveal God. Number two, we taught that the Bible shows us where sin and death came from, where all other religions deny the truth of man's death and teach conscious existence when they're dead. Number three, we saw that only the scriptures reveal a savior who abolishes death, and again, others just deny that truth by teaching some kind of conscious existence in some kind of fairy tale amusement park in death. And number four, we saw that the scriptures alone teach that Christ alone has immortality and grants immortality to believers in resurrection and finally to all mankind at the consummation. So it's only through Christ that immortality is, and we saw that all other writings deny this great truth by teaching the natural or inherent immortality of the soul. And while the body dies, the soul is translated into a larger, fuller life. By the way, friends, that is exactly what Satan said in the Garden of Eden. Friends, we need to realize that it's the Bible that is the final authority, not man's interpretation of the scriptures or reading into a passage something that's not there. If you teach these things, you're basically ignoring or minimizing the resurrection of Christ and the blessed hope of believers. Now finally, five, the sacred scriptures reveal the grand work of salvation, conciliation, and reconciliation to be holy of God apart from merit or works of righteousness performed by creatures themselves. Did you hear that, friends? Now, I think more than anything, this sets apart Christianity, the Bible, biblical Christianity. This sets it apart from everything else because we teach, the sacred scriptures teach, that salvation is a gift of God, that man cannot lift a finger to save himself. Man can do nothing. God has to do all the saving. It's God who's the Savior, and we are the ones who are being saved. All other religions teach some form of salvation through self-help, works of righteousness performed by the individual apart from God or in cooperation with him. Did you hear that? All other writings deny this by teaching salvation through self-help works of righteousness performed by the individual apart from God or in cooperation with him. Many believers today actually believe that they're saved because they believed. They actually believe that God stands back and waits for us to muscle up enough power to believe God. And there are actually some believers, so-called, out there who say, well, we were smart enough to believe God and the rest of those people are stupid and they didn't believe him, so they're going to be punished for eternity. But friends, that's not the scripture. Scripture teaches salvation is wholly a gift of God apart from you. You did not cooperate with God at all. God, you didn't cooperate. God saved you. He did all the saving, and you did all the being saved if you're a believer. Now, if we really consider the five items we just named, and if you really consider and go back and listen to this broadcast, you can get a CD from us and listen or go back to our website. But if you listen to those five items, it should be sufficient to convince every honest person the majestic perfection and superiority of the sacred scriptures over any other writing. And this, to me, is the truth. And like we said before, we don't despise or hate anyone who does not believe this truth, because I stand here today as a believer not because of my own effort. I'm not a believer because I'm smarter than anyone else. No, I'm a believer because God gave me the faith to believe. God opened my heart, my understanding to the scriptures. He revealed to me a perfect Christ. He revealed to me that Jesus Christ came and paid my sin debt for once and for all time, and he showed me through the sacred scriptures that Jesus Christ is the Savior, and God is the Savior of all mankind, especially for those who believe. And so this is something that I cannot thank myself for. Now, it is quite clear from the character of the scriptures that they are not the work of man, for man could not have written them if he would, and would not have written them if he could. Now, why do I say this? Well, the reason I say this is because the scriptures detail this with scathing and unsparing severity the sins of its greatest men, like Abraham, Jacob, Moses, David, and Solomon, charging them with falsehood, treachery, pride, adultery, cowardice, murder, and some gross, wicked things. The scriptures present the history of the sons of Israel, the chosen people of Jehovah, as a humiliating record of ingratitude, idolatry, unbelief, and rebellion. Therefore, it is safe to say that the Hebrews, unguided and undirected by the Spirit of God, never would have chronicled the sinful history of their nation and its greatest men. And this is a true statement, friends. Man would have done its best to cover up the sins of the great men of Scripture. Now, and even today, sometimes I know in my own thinking, in my own heart, when I look at men, if I see a man of God do something out of character, I sometimes look down on them when I realize that in the Scripture God records the failings of some of the greatest men. And some of the greatest men fail. Well, the reason is because God is teaching us a great lesson. Even men with great truth and great responsibility can fail, because we can only trust and depend on the one true and living God, and that's something to think about. Now, what about man's writings? It is worthy of notice relative to what we just said, that when men write histories and biographies, they leave out the mistakes and wrongdoings of their subjects and magnify their good deeds so as to make the picture beautiful. Yet it is quite different in the sacred scriptures. The evil deeds of its greatest men are recorded along with their good deeds. This is sufficient evidence within itself that man of his own will did not conceive and write the sacred scriptures. And this is one of the reasons we believe, and now we didn't put this among the number, we listed the five reasons we believe the scriptures are better, but this could have been a sixth one if we were to add it, that another reason why the scriptures are better is because it even records the sins of its greatest men. The Bible doesn't really go around bragging about men. The Bible doesn't say, let me introduce you, Pastor Paul, PhD, MD, BAA, SOS, PDQ, so on and so forth. It doesn't do that. It doesn't magnify men like we do today just because they've gotten a degree of some kind. No, it never does that, and neither should we. Now, let's ask a couple questions regarding how the scriptures are written. Now, I want to press something upon your hearts, that this is a fact that the scriptures were not given all at once, nor once for all. In other words, they were given by installment, or as it is sometimes expressed, piecemeal, as the time and occasion demanded. Now, one of the versions, the King James versions, reads in Hebrews 1:1 that the scriptures came at sundry times in diverse manners. In the original, we have literally in English, it means many partly and many mannerly. In other words, if we were to translate that into the English idiom, we would say Hebrews 1:1 would say the scriptures came by many portions and many modes. The scriptures came by many portions and many modes. God spoke different ways at different times and gave different portions of truth little by little. The scriptures were not all written at once. In other words, Adam knew something, but Enoch knew more than Adam. Well, Noah knew more than Enoch, and then in turn Abraham knew more than Noah, and then later on Moses knew more than Abraham, and then David knew more than Moses, and on down through the line, scriptures came many partly, as we just read, many mannerly. So divine inspiration confirms the fact that the scriptures were not given all at once, nor once for all. Now, what about the recorders, the men chosen? There were 33 men chosen by God from various walks of life, and they were carried on by the Holy Spirit. They spoke and recorded the revelation he wished mankind to know. During a period of about 1,500 years, from about 1,400 B.C. to about 100 A.D., there were kings such as David and Solomon, statesmen like Daniel and Nehemiah, priests like Ezra, a man learned in all the wisdom of Egypt like Moses, a herdsman like Amos, a degraded and despised tax collector in the employment of the Roman government like Matthew, an illiterate Galilean fisherman like Peter, James and John, a beloved physician like Luke, a persecutor and defamer like Saul of Tarsus, and such mighty seers as Isaiah, Jeremiah, and John, for whom the curtains of time were pulled aside, allowing them to look down through the centuries and behold events of the oncoming eons and make records of them for our learning. Friends, I don't know about you, but if I was writing a great book, I would not chosen a bunch of people like that. I would not chosen such men from different walks of life, from kings to shepherds. Imagine that. Imagine a group like that getting together and writing a book. How different they would write. As a matter of fact, we'll get into that next time where we talk about science textbooks and maybe medical textbooks. Imagine a man over 2,000 years writing a medical book, and if it would be accurate, we'll pick this up next time.